Our text this morning will be found right back in Psalm 124. It'll be verse 8, although we'll be dealing with the entire psalm this morning. I've chosen verse 8 to be the culmination of everything said. And it reads this way: Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let us pray. O Lord, how great Thou art. We praise Thy name, Lord, and we thank Thee. For Thou truly showed Thy mighty power this week. You showed Thy mighty preserving grace and Thy mighty mercies. We thank You, Lord, that You have preserved our place here to worship. We thank You that You have preserved us. We pray for those, Lord, who are not with us this morning, that You would be a present help to them, that You would speak to their souls. And Lord, as we come before Thee this day, we are reminded, Lord, that You are in the midst of us, where two or more are gathered in Thy name. And I pray, Lord, that is the case this morning. And I pray, Lord, You would dwell with us in this hour, that You would be pleased to take our minds off all the carnal things and bring us to Thy feet and to Thy word. Lord, speak mightily. May You come this morning and come as reflection, come as one who can search all things in our souls, Lord, and bring us to Thee for all mercy and comfort and assurance. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As Hurricane Ian approached and went through this week, as we were all went through it together, and my mind was filled with the thoughts of what if. Not the what ifs that you think, probably, what if this happened or what if that happened. Not the fatalistic what ifs. But the Lord impressed upon me, what if I had to go through this without the Lord? What must it be like in dire situations like that, or where danger is imminent, or there's a threat of danger, to not know anything or have any understanding of Romans 8:28, that our Lord is working out all things for the good of His people, to them who are called, to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. What if we didn't have any knowledge of that? What if we didn't have any understanding? What if we didn't have the Lord? I thought about that, and then the Lord started developing this sermon in my mind and heart. And I thought about my youngest daughter, Lydia, who came to me a few months back and asked me to watch a show on TV called What If. And she said, you know, it's very interesting. And what that show did is it took a lot of the shows that we'd watched in the past, and it had alternate endings to them, or it gave you an alternate universe that you lived in, or an alternate way that things did. One turned out this way, but what if it turned out this way? And I told her then that was such an exercise in futility, I would never want to do something like that because of the vanity of our minds, of that what if. The psalmist this morning, which is identified as David, you see a song of degrees of David in Psalm 124, that what if that he's asking has nothing to do with the vanity of what if. It has nothing to do with the futility of or the vanity of life. But it's put on record for reflection, for comfort, for assurance. If you look at the verses 1 through 5, The main point that we see this morning is that the whole of the deliverance of the saints and the church is attributed to the Lord. That's what David is saying here. Everything that the Lord does, He does for His church and His people and His namesake. And I thought about that this morning, not this morning, but this week, as I sat and reflected, and I heard the storms going through, and I heard the violence of the wind, and I heard the rain hitting against the house, and I thought about a deeper what if. What if the Lord Jesus Christ did not leave heaven? What if he didn't humble himself and come down here and take the nature of my flesh and die for me? What if he didn't do that? What if we were left in the same garden and covenant that he made with Adam? What if we all were still in that covenant? Do this and live. We, just like Adam, would be dead. We'd have no life in us. But that's not the case. He did come down. He did leave heaven. He did humble himself. And he did come down. And he did lay down his life. What if he didn't lay down his life? What if he was just a teacher? What if he was just a prophet? What if his life down here was just to show us an example of how to act? And then he went back up into heaven. That wasn't the case. He laid down his life for his friends. He laid down his life for the church. What if he did not satisfy the justice of the Father for all of the sins that his people have ever committed against the Father, against a holy God who is perfect, who cannot look upon sin? What if Jesus' voluntary death, if he did not lay down his life, and he did not take, if he was not made sin for us on the cross, what if he did not stand in our place and he reckoned every one of us where we had to stand and answer for our own sins? What answer could we possibly have? What righteousness could we give? What blood is efficacious that flows to cover sin? Ours? No. Our mom and dad's? No. Those thoughts filled my mind, but not in a fatalistic view or a vanity view, a deep introspection. What if I didn't have the anchor of my soul, the Lord Jesus Christ? What if I wasn't covered in his blood? What if his righteousness was not my righteousness? What if I was left to myself? What if he didn't come out of the tomb? What if he stayed dead? The psalmist today, when we get to the psalm here in a minute, is reflecting on all of those things. You and I don't know how often you reflect upon those things. I remember one of the times Wednesday night when Stephanie was getting a little worried, and she looked at me and said something around the, aren't you worried or something? And I told her, I said, no, I know where my name's written in heaven. I know that the Lord has died for me. The calming peace of the Lord said to me, put everything in perspective to me. What is a storm? What is it going to do to my body? Fear not the one that can harm my body, but the one who can throw my body and soul into hell. That's the fear of the Lord that he gives his children. That's what he gives us, to have a reverential fear when the Lord brings these providential things and these storms into our life, to depend upon him. That's why that song says, I need thee every hour, Lord, to remind me of that. Because if not, we're going to be left to ourselves and our own understanding. And I think every day of our lives, we are proven that's not good for us. We get into so much trouble. We think we know so much. But the Lord has to come and mortify and humble us. What if he didn't come out of the tomb? What if he didn't fulfill 1 Corinthians 1:30, which said he became wisdom for us? He is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. What if that wasn't the case? All of these what ifs are not for the people of God to dwell on and to say, what if time changed, or what if other events took place? But what are we without the Lord? What if we didn't have the Lord? What if the Lord didn't preserve us? What if the Lord didn't die for us? What if the Lord didn't rise again for us? What if He didn't ascend for us? What if He isn't reigning for us? What would we have? And as we come now to Psalm 124 and we look at those first five verses real quick, we see, as I said, the whole part of deliverance and everything is attributed to the Lord. Look how it starts. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, the spiritual Israel, now may they say, he repeats it again. He says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. Now David puts that in man. We have a lot of enemies. We live in a free society today. We have enemies. We have men that are enemies that are in other countries. We have men, they may be closer to us than we think of. But we don't readily think about men being our enemies as much as we do sin, ourselves, this world, Satan. All of these things are conspiring to take our soul. And David says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when these enemies, men, rose up against us, if it had not been the Lord who stood in our place, who stood for us, who keeps us, who preserves us, if it wasn't the Lord who watched the house, we would stay up in vain and vanity trying to preserve whatever it is we have. But I want you to see something. He says, when men rose up again, then they had swallowed us up quick. If it wasn't, had been the Lord, if it wasn't the Lord for us, if it wasn't God fighting for us, if it wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ who is preserving the child of God, if we were not safe in His hand as the church, as the body of Christ, what would we have? And sadly, we see it in man every day of our lives. And I'm not sitting up here to be boastful. We owe it all. We are debtors to grace. It's all grace. No one in this room has merited the favor of Almighty God. No one has merited the Son of God coming and dying for them. No one. It's only by His grace. We are debtors to that grace. Then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. Now think about this a minute. Think about being overwhelmed. But just when you think David's talking about a physical enemy, he says, the stream had gone over our soul. David, when you read the Psalms, you have this person who wrote and had many enemies. He was a warring king. He was always seemed to be at war. But his turmoil and his worst enemies were inside of him. And he knew it. And you and I, if the Lord is gracious to teach us that, that's the key to life, understanding life. Knowing who our enemy is. Our worst enemy lies within us. It's self. Self-will. Self-righteousness. Self-knowledge. Self, self, self. And then we have the wicked one always coming after the people of God and working in conjunction with the self. And then they invite the world in and say, hey, world's got a lot to offer. Why don't you follow the world too? And we have all of these conspiring enemies. And you put on top of that, we have fears. We have anxiety. We're full of unbelief. We have all of these things in our fallen nature warring against us. That's what David said. The waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. If only we were left to ourselves. If only we didn't have the Lord. You notice the headline of this psalm is called A Song of Degrees. It's one in the middle of about 15 in a row that were written and they were sung by the people of Israel as they went to and fro marching up to Jerusalem every year. These were little songs that they would sing that David wrote. These were the things they sang about how the Lord delivered them. The people of God that were delivered then in the soul are the same ones delivered today. We're delivered the same way. The Lord Jesus Christ. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Look at verse 5. So he attributes all of our preserving. He attributes everything that our keeping, our sanity, our peace of mind, our inner peace, all to the Lord. Hold your finger there and turn back to Psalm 31 with me for a moment. A couple moments. Once again, we have a Psalm of David. But I want you to start with me in verse 13 because we have time of trouble again. I told you, David had many troubles in his life and he had many warfares in all his life, just like you and I. He says in 13, "For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side, while they took counsel together against me." They, meaning sin, Satan, the world, self. All of those are taking counsel against me. They devise to take away my life. That is the purpose of their coming together, is to take away our life. To take it away from the one who preserves life. But look at 14. Look at the faith of the Son of God. "But I trusted in thee, O Lord." Where does that come from? It's preserving grace. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's Christ who does not leave His children to themselves when the enemies are conspiring. When providence looks like it's dangerous against us, the Lord is speaking to the soul. "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand." Have you ever been brought to the end of yourself to cry out to the Lord, "My times are in your hand. Whatever comes about here, Lord, is in your hand. Your providential, loving hand. Your hands that preserves my life. It's in your hands." That's what David's brought. "Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies. And from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake." What do we appeal to when we call out to the Lord? His mercies that are new each day. We may not have had electric every day, but we had the Lord's mercies every day. Every day. And Stephanie and I, as we walked through the streets and we saw the devastation in other houses, we thanked the Lord for His mercies. Mercies on those people that it didn't hit their houses. We might have all not had electricity, but we all had life. "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I've called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed. And let them be silent in the grave." It's okay to pray against our enemies. It's okay to ask the Lord to destroy and put down this flesh. To rebuke the wicked one and tell him to get away from me. To put down and cover that sin with his blood. To keep the world away from us. "Kill me to it, Lord. Its clutches are coming after me, Lord. Mortify it. Put it to death in me. Let the world love the world. Keep me from it. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness. As the Lord brought us through that storm, did you think in your soul, Lord, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee? The Lord brought that to my mind. How good is the Lord that as the whole storm's going through, I had perfect peace. He had stayed my mind upon Him. It hadn't been that way in the past. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee. You've done it, Lord. It's your goodness. It's your faith. It's your mercy. That's the only way the psalmist can be brought out of himself, is the Lord exercises faith in him. His faith. Not the counterfeit type, where we believe and it doesn't happen. We believe in ourselves or we trust in other things. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear me, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Lord, hide me from the pride of man. Hide me from the pride of my old man. Hide me from the pride of those around me. Hide me in the cleft of the rock. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Do you see the preserving grace of the Lord? Do you see how He watches over His people? Do you see how He keeps us? He keeps us from the voices. He keeps us from the devices of men. And He keeps us from the devices of self. Blessed be the Lord, for He has showed me His marvelous kindness in a strong city. And that strong city is Himself. He shows us the kindness of Himself. He's faithful to Himself. For I said, look at 22. For I said in my haste, is that not us? I am cut off before thine eyes. Isn't that what we do? We look at the situation. We look at the hurricane. We look at not having power. We look at the things we don't have. Oh, how bad it is for me. I'm cut off. I don't have the things that I have need of. Oh, woe is me. What's going to happen to me? And David's no different. He says the same thing. I said in my haste, in my fallen nature, that's what it's capable of. Even though you know God is good, even though you know He's watching over you, that old nature just cries out and says, you know what? I'm cut off before the Lord. He's not loving me. Why is this being brought into my life? Every time we murmur, that's what we're saying. Every time we're complaining, we're not trusting the Lord. We're questioning why the Lord is doing what He's doing. Because we don't believe in Romans 8:28. We don't believe that we're safe and secure. We don't believe that His times, our times are in His hands. We can't without faith. We can't without Him. And then you see the beautiful word there. Nevertheless. Did our unbelief make the Lord not love us anymore? Did our sin cause Him to flee away? No. David says, nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto you. Lord, you didn't, even though in my haste I acted this way, you didn't leave. What does that remind me of? It reminds me of 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. If you are saved from eternity, you are preserved from eternity. You cannot sin away your salvation. Oh, you can backslide. You can lose your way at times. But the shepherd never loses sight of you. Never. Nevertheless, that's but God. Here's what we say, but God. This is what He said. This is what His word says. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried unto you. even when we believe not, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And he will not. He can swear by no other, Hebrews tells us. He swears by himself. He has never lied. He has never sinned. He has been totally faithful. Always 100% faithful. Can you say that about yourself? No, I can't either. And then how can he not say these words in 23? Oh, love the Lord. Dear ones, love the Lord. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of our affections. He's worthy of us to cry out to him, say, Lord, you're so good. Blessed be your name. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But you can't say that if the love isn't there. Oh, love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. Well, we're only faithful because of him. We just saw that. And plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. The world will always get their just reward. We know that. Vengeance is mine, the Lord says. I will repay. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen your heart in all of those times. All ye that hope in the Lord. You know, that was the thing. The Lord kept impressing upon me. Every day I'd wake up and there'd be no electric in the house. My hope was not in Lakeland Electric. My hope was in the Lord. Lord, you know my times are in your hands. Lord, you know the best time. And when it came on yesterday at 6:18, that was the best time. The best time. It was the Lord's time. There'll be those who'd say, well, finally, or whatever, it's been so long. Always in the Lord's perfect time. He causes his people to cry out to him. He causes us to lean upon him. He causes us to sometimes we get to see that, how what we're capable of. How ugly we can be when we're getting hot or when we're getting sweaty or we don't have a place to go, we don't think. The Lord shows us what we're capable of. Just taking a one little comfort away from us. How vile we could be. If it wasn't for the Lord keeping the house, it wouldn't be kept. Let's go back to our psalm now, back in Psalm 124. And now we get to the last three verses. After we looked at 1 through 5 and we talked about how the deliverance of the church is always attributed to the Lord. And I hope that's the psalm that the Lord's put on your heart today. You know, the Lord is the reason we're here today. The Lord is the reason we have life. The Lord is the reason we have electric. The Lord is the reason we have all things. We have peace in our soul. We have someone next to us that loves us. It's because of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Look at 6. Who has not given us as a prey to their teeth. As much as we get sifted in this life, sometimes by the wicked one, many times by self, he has not given us over to him. He's faithful. We just saw that. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 1, 9 and 10. He said, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. The sentence of death is the sentence of death that the Lord works in us to kill us from the world. To kill us from sin. That sin doesn't have dominion over us. We had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves. That's the purpose of the Lord, to bring these things into our life to mortify, to show us that we need him every hour. But in God, which raises the dead, who delivered, that's past tense, us from so great a death. From the foundation of the world, you and I are preserved in Christ. That's what our text told us. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us a prey to their teeth. He has preserved us in eternity. That's time past. That's what Paul said. Who delivered us from so great a death. That's in eternity. Then he says, and he doth deliver. That's now. That's in our day to now. He still delivers us today in the present tense. He's our deliverer now. And guess what the last one is? In whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. That's the future. The Lord is our future. He will come again for us. He is our resurrection. He's guaranteed our resurrection. He will be our hope. He will be our chariot to heaven. He will be the one who comes for His people, just as He is now. And He comes in our time of need. And He comes to our soul. That's what the psalmist is writing. It's our soul. Later, just one 2 Corinthians 2:14, he said, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." Now, we don't feel that way. Many times we're cast down. We'll read that in a minute. We feel like we're just defeated. But the Lord, in the picture of things, we're always triumphant in Christ. His blood has always covered our sins. We're always robed in His righteousness, no matter what the wicked one wants us to see. No, what our fallen nature wants us to believe. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. He's faithful to preserve His word as He is this morning. He's faithful to His word. Don't ever neglect this great mercy that the Lord left us, this word that speaks to us every day who He is. The Holy Spirit takes these words and feeds the sheep and speaks to them of what Christ has done for them and is doing. But look at verse 7. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. So you picture the bird, the metaphor being caught they laid traps for the bird. The bird's in there. But our soul has escaped, just like that bird getting away out of there and flying away, fleeing away. The psalmist says our soul is like that. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken. That snare that the world lays for our soul, it's broken by Christ. It's broken by our breaker. You don't think He's the breaker? Listen to what Micah 2:13 says. The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it. That's the shepherd leading us through the gate. And their king shall pass before them, and the Lord the head of them. Sorry, I can't read my writing. That's Micah 2:13. The name given to the Lord Jesus Christ is the breaker. Because He's the one in our text today, the snare is broken. He's the one that takes the clutches of sin off of us. He's the one that washes us in His blood to show us that sin's not going to damn us, that He's put it away. He's the one that breaks the clutches of Satan and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You don't desire the things of me. You desire the things of the world. You desire the soul of mine, but you can't have it." He's the breaker. He breaks us from off the world. He makes the world look non-appeasing to us anymore. We don't desire it anymore. Just all of a sudden, the Lord, that's how strong the Lord is. He replaces the world with Himself, and your desire is heavenward toward Him and not the world. He does that. He's the breaker. He's the one that sets us free as little birds, and we know how not smart they are. We just learned that this weekend too. We fly into things. We'll fly right into that snare every time. And if we didn't have the breaker to break us out of that snare, we would fall straight to hell. But we do. That's the whole point of the message today. What if is answered by Christ? What if we didn't have Him? But you do. That's what the psalmist is saying. Let me tell you how faithful He is. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." All men go through temptations. There's nothing. I know we say that sometimes. We say, "Oh, I went through more than anybody else has." Well, you're lying. You're biblically lying. It tells us right here that the temptations that have taken a hold of us are just as common to all men. But God is faithful. How is He faithful? "Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able." He's not going to bring more in your life for you to bear than you're able to bear it in Him. How do I know that? Because the rest of this. "But will with the temptation also make a way to escape." That escape is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who bears our cross. We're told to take up our cross daily and follow Him. How can we do that? Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us." Because ultimately, the one who's carrying our cross is the one who carried His cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore it so that we can bear it in Him. "Make a way to escape that you may be able to bear." That's what our text is telling us. We have an escape plan, and that escape plan is in the Lord Jesus Christ. To escape from sin, from hell, from the devil, from the world, from self. And then finally, our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. All power is in His name, not man's. And notice, we're in with the great Creator. He made heaven and earth. We talked about that last week, that little three-letter word, let. Let this mind be in you. How? It's by His creative power. It's by our Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord. In His name. Hold your finger there now. We're going to come back here in just a second. But let's go to 2 Corinthians 7. No, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. I love this passage. 2 Corinthians 4, look at verse 7. We're going to start there. This is Christ in us. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." You know what that means? We have the treasure of Christ in this earthen vessel, this body. Christ is in us, the hope of glory. "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." That tells us something about this vessel, though. It's earthen. It's breaking down. But we have Christ who doesn't break down. "That the excellency of the power in this vessel," think about it, "may be of God and not of us." See, the treasure is Christ in us, the almighty power. That's what our last verse told us this morning, right? We're the help is in the name of the Lord. He's our power. He's everything to us. So Christ in us, the hope of glory. He says, we have this treasure, Christ, in our earthen vessel. Because this earthen vessel has to be dependent upon that. Because this earthen vessel is breaking down. This earthen vessel has sin in it. "That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." That's what He's teaching us in this world. He's teaching us our need for Him every day. And in His faithfulness, He fulfills that. That we not only need Him every day, but He's there every day. "We are troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed." That's what being preserved in Christ is. That's what having this treasure in this earthen vessel. All of these things may come and outwardly take place to this earthen vessel. But the treasure never wavers. The treasure is always as strong. And we're never forsaken. And I love to say this every time I say this. We're never forsaken because He was forsaken. Because he was forsaken, you and I never will be. He stood in our place so that you and I are never forsaken. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. That the life, this is resurrection life, dear ones. Always, our mind is always toward our Lord died for us. That's what impresses upon us. He suffered in our place. He died for us. That the life also of Jesus might be manifested in our body. The life of Christ is in us. Why? Because He is the treasure in this earthen vessel. He is. Now let's go back to our text. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. So we've completed this psalm today. We've seen this psalm that says basically, without Him we can do nothing. And because of Him we can do all things. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that the gospel? I'd like to close this morning by reading Psalm 125. The psalm right after 124. My Bible says it's the Lord, the protector. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people, from henceforth, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands into iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. That's His righteousness. Do good, Lord, to those who are righteous in You. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. But peace shall be upon Israel. Our two psalms today both speak of answering that question, what if? The psalmist started with that, if it had not been the Lord. And I pray as we go from this place today, as the Lord causes us to reflect upon Him, that He brings that question to our soul. What would I be if I didn't have the Lord? What would life be if I didn't have the Lord's presence? What is life without the Lord? These questions are all answered in and by Christ. May He answer them for you.